You see, there's a decree. And if you don't believe this new decree from the King of Kings, Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He is the truth, not a truth. He is the way. He's the only way. Amen.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello once again, and thanks so much for joining us for the broadcast. Today, Pastor Bill begins the final message from the study in the Old Testament book of Esther. Pastor has titled this message, God is in Control. Now let's listen.
The book of Esther tonight in the Old Testament, right before the book of Job. And we are in chapter 8. We're going to finish the book of Esther tonight. And we're going to talk about tonight how God is in control. Remember the theme of this great book, the theme of Esther, is the providence of God. Even though, if you'll notice, God is not mentioned. Prayer is not really mentioned, although fasting is and so forth. But you know what's amazing about this book is that, you know, remember what I told you at our very beginning, at the introduction, that Martin Luther, you know, in the 1500s, you know what he said? He said, I wish that the book of Esther did not even exist. Matter of fact, if you go back and study all the early church fathers, not one early church father has written one word or commentary about this little book called Esther. But tonight I want you to know that I thank God that it's written. I thank God that it's here for us because you know what? It shows us that God is always behind the scenes, and God accomplishes his plans and his purposes through people. God is always in control. Never, ever, loved one, think that he's not. He sees, he knows, he cares, he knows everything. God is always in control. Remember that we left off last time there at the banquet of Queen Esther. And we know what happened there at that banquet. She identified herself as a Jewish queen there to the king and so forth. Mordecai was, of course, Haman was there. And we know what happened, that as Mordecai had learned about all the Jews, that the plan was, is for Haman, he sent the letters out to the 127 provinces all over the world that were under this king, that in one single day, on one given time, all the Jews, women, children, men, everyone, it would be legal to murder them, to kill them, and then to plunder them. When Mordecai found this out, he was back in sackcloth and ashes, walking up the streets publicly, crying out. And of course, Queen Esther, she heard about it, sent a fresh clothing to him. He would not come into the palace. And he told Esther, he said, Esther, listen, you're a Jew and I'm a Jew. And the edict that went out from that wicked Haman to have all the Jews exterminated, your life is at stake, my life is at stake. Don't even think for a moment that you will be spared. And you know what Esther did, that brave little queen. She went in to talk with the king, which could mean certain death because it was against the law of the Persians and the Medes for the queen to enter in the presence of the Lord unannounced. And she said to Mordecai, who was her adopted father, he said, if I perish, I perish. She did not let fear rob her. She did what she had to do. Amen. You know what's wonderful is she did not miss her divine moment, her divine opportunity. She walked right into the perfect area that God had given her without knowing it was God. She had no clue. You see, that's what Mordecai told her, said, Esther, listen, how do you know that you were not born for such a time as this? Loved one, that is the incredible providence of God. And you know, I look at this tonight, and we left off, you know, with Haman. He's hanging from the gallows that he built for Mordecai, the Jew. Remember, he is wiped out. He is dead. And the only thing that's not dead is the decree that he made there against the Jews that went out to the 127 provinces. So that's still alive, which means that all the Jews are still going to be killed on a specific day. So again, God is in control. He's behind the scenes. Let's begin tonight, chapter 8, verse 1. It says, on that day, meaning the day that, you know, they impaled or literally put Haman upon that cross or that stake, actually. It says, the king gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. Again, he was her adoptive father, if you remember. So the king took off his signet ring, which meant total authority, by the way, which he had taken from Haman, that wicked one that just was last week put upon and impaled. He gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. If we went back to chapter 3, I forget what verse it was, but you remember what Haman did when he was second in command to all of Persia? He took the signet ring, of course, from the king, and he said, listen, I will give you 10,000 talents of silver. That's 750,000 pounds of silver, loved one. We could live on that tonight, couldn't we? Yeah. He said, and I want to put it into your treasury because I want you to take it and use it to exterminate all the Jews. And of course, the king was willing to take that. Well, you see, now Haman is dead. And what did the king just do? He gave everything that Haman had, Haman owned, all of his wealth. Now, what Haman coveted, all that money and his fame and his title, is now given as a gift unto Esther. It all belonged to her. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:22, it says, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous, and no doubt it's true here. And then it says in verse 3, and Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman, the Agite, and scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Remember, whenever the law of the Medes and the Persians, when a king made a decree, it could never be altered, it could never, ever be changed. So here comes Queen Esther. She, once again, she's going to intercede to the king, the most powerful king actually on earth at that time, for her people. And then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. And so Esther arose, stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, if I found favor in your sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I'm pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who were in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see such evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? Now listen carefully. There were 127 provinces from Africa, all over the world, man, that was under this king's authority. He was the most powerful king at that time on the earth, okay? All the Jews knew that that letter that had been sent out, that on the specific day, they were going to die. So they knew that everyone was turning against him, okay? Because that letter had gone out, you know. But what they didn't know, that God was in control, amen? He's always in control, even though we don't feel like it, even though sometimes we don't even believe it. But fact is, he is in control. And not only that, the people, all the Jews, and there were 15 million at that time in all the provinces, they had no idea that there was a queen named Esther at that time. And she was on her knees before, again, the most powerful king in all of the world, and she was pleading for their lives. You know, when we study the Old Testament, you know, this is more than a story. We can make application after application for the 21st century Christian. Do we have an intercessor? Do we have someone pleading for us tonight? Not only tonight, but every moment of every day, who's seated at the right hand of God, whoever liveth for us, amen? The Bible tells us in Romans 8:34, it says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. In other words, he paid the penalty of our sin. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. He's there right now, the most powerful place in all the universe. He's there right now. You know, Ephesians 2:6 says, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. In other words, that is our position. As far as God's concerned, he sees us seated right there with the Lord. He says, listen, furthermore, Jesus is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Listen, I promise you, And you know it as well as I do. Has there ever been a prayer that Jesus prayed before God the Father, the risen Christ in heaven? You think God's going to say no? No, listen. Man, he is our intercessor. You know who Jesus is, our great high priest? He is our guarantee that he's going to keep us saved. I'm not talking about, well, now you mean, Bill, I can live any way I want to? You need to come down for prayer. Of course not. We're born again. Amen? No, listen. Man, he will keep us safe, continue to save us. Why? Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save us to the uttermost. That word means completely, forever and ever and ever. To those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Man, listen, I have a Savior, you have a Savior who came to this planet, who loves us, who died for us, who rose from the dead, who went back home. Amen? Now listen, Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. He's not condemning you. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. No, he's interceding for you. And I promise you, if Jesus is praying for you, he's going to keep you. God's going to keep you. You're going to make it. Man, I tell you, as long as Jesus is alive, we're saved. Amen? And he's alive forever. Amen? I love that. Now look at verse 7 with me. It says, and then the king said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed, I've given Esther the house of Haman and have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay hands on the Jews. You yourselves, meaning both Esther and Mordecai, look what he's there to do. Write a decree concerning the Jews as you please. In the king's name, seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. Loved one, there is again, God's in control. That is the providence of God. We already know that the king had already issued an edict. Or Haman did, okay, under the king's authority, to kill all of the Jews on a specific certain day where it'd be legal to do so and then plunder everything that they had. The king can't change that. It's the law of the Persians and the Medes. But he can, under his new prime minister, not revoke it. Well, he can supersede it. In other words, he can issue a brand new decree. He can't change the old one, but he can issue a brand new one. And he's doing it just in the nick of time because we know that there's about 9 months left before all the Jews were to be slaughtered. So that means that there'll be plenty of time to get all the people out and notify them about this new decree. Look at verse 9. So the king's scribe were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. That would be the May, June, okay? On the 23rd day. So we know from this, from what we've studied out, it's been 2 months and 10 days since Haman sent that edict all over the 127 provinces. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia. 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, in its own language, every people in its own language, and to the Jews in their own script, and their own language. Now, if you are one of those deep scholars tonight, I know there's a couple of you in here, you know. No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, listen. Verse 9, not that it's going to do anything for anyone, but verse 9 is the longest verse in the Old Testament, okay? I just thought I'd throw that out at you. No, it's about 43 words and 140 or 192 letters. Now, verse 10, and he wrote the name of the king, and he wrote in the name of the king, sealed it with the king's signet ring, sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses, bred with swift steeds, and by these letters the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together. Now, here's the new decree. Watch this. To gather together and to protect their lives, to destroy, to kill, to annihilate all forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children, women, and plunder their possessions. Now listen carefully. Boy, that's one of the most debated passages in Esther. I think, not that I care for the NIV. If you are an NIV person, I love you. I'm not being critical. I just don't care for the NIV. But what I am saying is that in this case, I believe the NIV translation is better than the New King James. And that's where it says, it was to protect any that might attack the Jewish women or the Jewish children, okay, instead of trying to kill the other people. And it says, on that one day in all the provinces of the king, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of March or April, Adar. Now, this is a new decree. It's in every language. It's in the language of every script, of the race of the people, and to every person, every province. Now listen carefully. They used every means in the kingdom to get the word out to all these different nations or provinces. Not only that, they used the finest and the fastest animals in the kingdom. You know, Seabiscuit and Secretariat or whoever they are today. I know, Justify, I think that was the last one, you know. Now, and they also used as many people as they could to get the word out as fast as they could. Don't you wish that's the way it was right now? You see, we've been given an incredible decree, haven't we? From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not to just 127 provinces, and just not to a few people with different languages and maybe different race of people. But no, we have a commission to the entire world, don't we? To go everywhere. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 28:19, which is one of the foundational scriptures of this fellowship. Jesus says, go. Go therefore. And the reason we can go is because all authority in heaven upon earth has been given unto him. He says, go therefore and make disciples all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you know, I know that the unseen Lord is with us wherever we go. I know that he is with us always. And I know whether you feel it, even whether you believe it, he is here with us right now. And you know how we experience, because it was the resurrected Lord that gave the Great Commission, the risen Lord. You know how to experience the Great Commission? You go. You step out. You do what the Lord wants you to do. Listen, you know, the king, Mordecai and Esther, had great news. Amen? But we have the greatest news on this planet. Man, we have the privilege to tell people about the great good news. We're the only people that are authorized to do so. Listen, it's good news. You know, there's a movie on TV, not a movie, I don't know what it is, it's called The Voice. You know what I'm saying? That's not good news. There's a football team that people watch. They live in this city. Oh, no, I'm sorry, thank God. They live over there, across the Jordan. This is a promised land. They're called the Dallas Cowboys. That's not good news. Well, they won, Bill. That's, I don't care. Email me later. That's not good news. Jesus died for our sins. We've been translated out of the kingdom, or from the kingdom, the power of darkness, into his dear son. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hell will never touch us. Heaven is our home for all eternity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are the ambassadors for Christ. We're his representatives on this planet, loved one. You know, one day, you know what's going to happen? The church, one more time, thank God it's coming, but one more day, one more time, and the church is going to be forever, one more time, burdened for those that are lost, burdened for those that are condemned. Because, see, a person that is in Adam is going to die. But in Christ, all is going to be made alive. Amen? A person who is still not born from above, they are dead. They don't know they're dead. The Bible says they're dead in trespasses and they're dead in their sins. They don't know that. They don't even believe that. They don't believe that they're numb in their hearts. And you know what's so tragic is that I see it now that I'm at least 45 years old. I've seen this over and over. I see people that don't know the Lord, and they're good people. Come on. You know, they're good, hardworking, paying their taxes and all the rest of it. But they have this dream. If I can just reach this one thing in my life, maybe it's fame, maybe it's fortune, maybe it's power, I don't know, or this position or this home or whatever. And then they gain it all, and you know what happens? They're empty. Why? Well, they reached what they thought was going to make them happy. And now they find out that they're emptier than they had ever been in their life. What if a man gains the whole world but loses his own soul? But what would a man give for his soul? I know what God gave for our soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, for us to be burdened for the lost again. They're not going to make it. Maybe you're here tonight and you're lost. I want you to know I love you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And you know what? The devil, he hates you. He does three things. He wants to kill, he wants to steal, and he wants to destroy. He hates everyone equally. He has never found anyone in any generation that he likes. Not one. And you know what he wants to do? Exactly what it says in 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world, meaning those who don't know Christ, the whole world lies in the sway, or the arms, or the cradle of the wicked one. He rocks the lost to sleep. Oh, you don't need to change. You just need to stay where you are. It's going to be okay. You know, you're a good person. You don't need God. You're stronger than God. There's no such thing as God. You know, you don't need a crutch. You just need to keep doing your drugs and getting wasted. That'll keep you going. No, listen, we have the answer. And the only way that we're going to reach the lost is to say, you know, Lord, here I am. I'm a living sacrifice. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I was reading a prayer by Jacob Stamm the other day about sacrificing. Let me read just one line from that prayer. He's prayed this. He says, oh, Lord, the only thing most of us know today about sacrifice is how to spell the word. Dear God, let that not be said of this church. Amen. Never be said. Look at verse 13. Now a copy of this document was to be issued as a decree in every province, published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on the day to, here it comes, to avenge themselves on their enemies. And the couriers who rode on the royal horses, they went out, they hastened, pressed by the king's command, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the citadel, or there at Susa at the palace, okay? Now listen, the new decree meant this, that the Jews didn't have to die, but they did have to fight, amen? And you know what? All they had to do, there they are scattered, the Jews, all over that, I mean, a vast empire. Here comes the decree. All they had to do was believe the decree that Mordecai and Esther sent out, that but changed the direction of the last decree. Now listen, the Jews in all those provinces, they didn't see Mordecai sign it. They didn't see Esther sign it. And you know what? I didn't, and you didn't witness the moving of the Holy Spirit when Paul sat there and wrote the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, about if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you'll believe those things, ask him to be the Lord of your life, you will be saved. Were you there? Did you see that happen? I didn't. But you know what? I believed it. I acted upon it. You believed it. You acted upon it. And we became new creations in Christ. Amen? Listen, and that's what they have to do. See, for the Jews in all those provinces, God's in control, loved one, but for them not to believe the new decree, you know what's going to happen? They're going to die. It meant death to them. And that's the same thing with people today that are lost. You see, there's a decree. And if you don't believe this new decree from the King of Kings, Jesus said in John 14, 6, he said, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. He is the truth, not a truth. He is the way. He's the only way. Amen? He said, listen, if a person doesn't believe that decree by the King of Kings, you know what? It means eternal death. Eternally separated from God forever and ever. Now let's do a lengthy reading beginning in verse 15. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel and blue and white. Now that's the colors of Persia. And with a great crown of gold, a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan, they rejoiced and they were glad. And the Jews had light. I love that, don't you? And you have light, don't you? You know, what did Jesus tell us in John 8, 12? He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life and not walk in darkness. No, loved one, we have the light. Not only that, he says, they had joy and gladness and honor. And in every province, in every city, wherever the king command and decree came, the Jews had joy, they had gladness, they had a feast, they had a holiday. And then many of the people of the land became Jews, or literally they stood with the Jews. Because a fear of the Jews fell upon them. And now in chapter 9, the 12th month, that is on the month of Adar, again, March or April, on the 13th day. Now, the time came for the king's command and his decree, could be executed. That was Haman's first decree to kill all of the Jews, okay?
We're out of time for this broadcast, but we hope you'll join us tomorrow for the conclusion to the message. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast, and we pray that the rest of your day is blessed. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.